Welcome to Hungry Authors, the show for aspiring authors who will stop at nothing to accomplish their writing and publishing dreams.
We're your hosts, Liz and Ariel, and we're honored that you're here. Let's dive in.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hungry Authors podcast. So we are continuing our summer sessions in season 3.5 as we look forward to the publication of our book on August 6th. And today we wanted to talk about something that we really didn't have a lot of space for in the book, unfortunately. In the book, we have a whole chapter on how to structure the chapters of your book. But one thing that we also talk about in our Map Your Book cohort, which is coming up in July, is how to write great introductions and great conclusions. So this week, we're going to talk about introductions. Next week, we're going to talk about conclusions. And we want to give you some helpful ideas about how to write these really important parts of your book, because I think a lot of authors get tripped up on how to write a great introduction and how to write a great conclusion. Mm-hmm. So, Liz, can you walk us through what introductions should look like for prescriptive nonfiction books?
Yes. Yes. A lot of people will tell you, like Ariel said, it's really hard to start. It's really hard to finish. That's true. But I really like talking about introductions because they're one of my favorite parts of the book to write. So for a prescriptive book, which basically means a nonfiction book that isn't a memoir or creative nonfiction, introduction serves a number of purposes. Number one thing that you want to get across in your introduction is who the book is for. You don't need to necessarily say this explicitly, but somewhere in your introduction, you want readers to go like, oh, this is for me. The person you are describing, the problem you are describing, the information you're going to deliver. You really want their reaction to go to be, wow, this is me. And identify with you and with the, you know, message that you're about to impart with your book. You also want to communicate what the book will do for the reader. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, like in ninth grade English class. I know even some professional speakers will even say this too. The like, tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them what you told them. It's not that different from prescriptive book writing. You want to tell them what you're going to tell them. What will this book do for the reader? What are they going to learn? Obviously, this is a high level view, but you want to give them an overview of what's in store. Why is it important? It's good to communicate some stakes, help get them invested in the journey they're about to go on in the book, help them understand why solving this problem is going to be really important, why learning whatever you have to teach them is important. Why this, you know, if you're writing a big idea book, why is it going to be important for their life, for the world? Helping communicate some of the stakes involved here. Why you are the best person to write the book. So this is one that I think if something gets missed, it is occasionally this. Not only are you trying to help the reader understand what they're about to learn, you also want to help convince them that you are the trustworthy guide to take them on this journey. I think sometimes why people resist this part a little bit is because if you have a message or an expertise or clout of any kind, this can be the part that feels a little bit like, ooh, look at me. I'm so special. I have this, whatever. It's the part that people always go, I don't want to brag. And you're like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to brag, but you do have to convince people that you know what you're talking about. And sometimes the way to do that is by sharing your success story or your origin story with the information that you're about to share. A lot of people who write a prescriptive book, they learned the information that they're about to teach through their own trial and error. So you often have your own origin story with this information. Who were you before you knew this? How did you come to learn this information? Did you build a multi six-figure business because of, you know, this business building technique that you learned? Did you overcome trauma? Or if you are You know, if you are an expert that has lots of clients, like how many people have you helped overcome this thing? Or, you know, if it's a big idea book, you know, what kind of research did you get into that led you down this path? Something that helps communicate that you're the trustworthy guide to take people on this journey, and that connects you to the reader in some way. You impart some details about your life, who you are, humanize yourself, relate to them. That's important in the introduction, to get a little bit of buy-in from the reader and make them feel like they know you. You know, it's super cliche. If you're in entrepreneurship circles, you've heard this a million times, but it's still true that like people buy / I would say read from people they know, like, and trust. So one of the main things you're trying to get people to do in the introduction is to know you. Hopefully they like you and to trust you. And then, you know, what to expect in the book ahead. A lot of introductions sort of end with like, you know, here's what's next, or sort of an exhortation to the reader to, you know, keep going, an invitation about, you know, what's up ahead for them. And then, you know, any disclaimers if you need to do that. But that's basically the gist of a good prescriptive introduction.
You might have noticed that Hungry Authors has had a bit of a glow up lately. One of the best investments we've made has been in hiring Goldschlag Design to help us create attractive graphics, slides, invites to our book launch party, and digital products that are aligned with the Hungry Authors brand. Michelle Goldschlag founded Goldschlag Design specifically to help busy women juggling marriage, children, and entrepreneurship. She has helped us take so much off of our plate. If you're looking for help with your design needs, there are three ways to work with Michelle. First, you can hire Michelle as your personal coach to develop and refine your digital design work in-house. You can submit one-off projects with a quick turnaround, or you could get unlimited designs every month with her subscription program. We're part of her subscription program, and the value that we've received has been incredible. But space is limited. Hop on over to goldschlagdesign.com today to snag your spot alongside us.
Do you want to walk through some templates?
The way that we teach people in our Map Your Book cohort to write introductions, we have kind of a template. So you're going to start with a hook, just like you should for any piece of your book, right? Any chapter, you got to start with a hook. And that can be like an interesting story. I will say often for the introduction, it is a story mm-hmm. of either how you overcame the challenge that you're trying to teach your readers how to overcome, or how, you know, one of your clients overcame that challenge, or how someone who is representative of your reader overcame the challenge that you are trying to teach your reader how to overcome too. So you're going to start with that hook. Then you're going to have a statement that explains what every person in your audience wants. There is some kind of, you know, thing that they want to accomplish. They want a better marriage. They want to write an amazing nonfiction book. They want, you know, a trained dog. Whatever it is you're trying to teach them in this book, you want to kind of come out and say like, hey, reader, I know that this is what you want. Unfortunately, the problem is, and this is the part of the introduction where you're saying, I know the challenges that you're facing. I can relate to you. I was there too. I know that you're feeling stuck and you're feeling, you know, so overcome. Whatever the problem is that's standing in the way of getting them what they want, you want to state that explicitly and tell them, hey, I know where you're at. I get it. I've been there too. I can relate to you and I understand the problem you're facing. That also helps to establish some credibility because the reader now trusts, hey, you really get it. The next part of their introduction is the solution. Here's where you lay out, hey, in this book, I've got the answers. I know what's going to help you overcome that problem so that you can get what you want. So you describe whatever your solution is. Maybe it's a framework. Maybe it's a set of communication tools for, you know, better communicating with your spouse. Maybe it's all of these techniques to train your dog. Whatever that transformation is, this is your chance to say, look, I've got the goods. I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to be able to overcome that problem with my solution. Then you can talk to them about, you know, why is it important? Well, it's important because, you know, no one wants to have a dog that's peeing all over the place. And no one wants to have a dog that runs after all of your neighbors every time someone walks by. And you're going to say, you know, this is important because you can have a marriage and a relationship that feels just as exciting in year 10 as it did in year one. You know, you want to kind of lay out, here's those stakes that Liz was talking about. Here's what you can gain when you do the stuff that I'm going to teach you in this book. Then you introduce yourself. And here's where Liz was talking about, this is your chance to prove your credibility. I can talk about this because, you know, I had a terrible marriage and my spouse and I were able to fix it with the help of these communication tools. Or I can talk about this because I'm a marriage therapist and I help couples just like you every day. And I've been doing this for the last 30 years. Or I can talk about this because I had a horrible dog who would do all these horrible things. And then I realized the dog wasn't the problem. I was the problem. And I was able to train them properly. So you talk about your experience and your credibility. The final part is that, you know, here's what's ahead. So here's how we'll accomplish this transformation. And that is often done by giving a preview of the chapters or the parts to come. So like in our book, and actually you, Liz, you wrote the introduction to our book. But at the end of our introduction, there's an overview of, hey, here's the four parts of our book. Here's how it's organized. Here's what you're going to learn in each part. And okay, now we're ready to get started. Here we go. And that's how the introduction ends, with a transition to chapter one. And if you've heard us talk about transformation tales before, you might recognize that template in the introduction as essentially your transformation tale. Mm-hmm. So if you know the transformation tale for your book, if you have taken our Map Your Book cohort and you've learned all this stuff, then you recognize that in the introduction, essentially all you're doing is telling the reader, hey, this is that transformation tale. Mm-hmm. And it is the way to set those readers' expectations.
Mm-hmm. So you've even said before, like when our students have been like trying to decipher the transformation tale of their comp books, you've even been like, look in the introduction. Most authors don't bury the lead. It's almost always pretty explicitly written in the introduction somewhere.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Liz, do you want to talk about Atomic Habits and the Book of Boundaries?
Yeah. So there's two, examples that we use a lot when we teach about good introductions for prescriptive books. One is The Book of Boundaries by Melissa Urban, which was Ariel's hyperfixation book about a year ago.
Yes. For good reason.
Yes. Same. I have the same. We go through periods where, like, when we're reading a book or something like really drives home, we like use it in every example for like a few months. Melissa Urban has an introduction titled How I Became the Boundary Lady, which is like a pretty good summation of many introductions of prescriptive books. It tells this origin story of your connection to the material that makes you the trustworthy guide for the book. So her hook is, I'm that boundary lady on Instagram. Then she goes into her personal story of drug addiction and alcohol and, you know, what that did to her life. Then she talks about what are boundaries and why do we need them, moving into the solution, how particular boundaries that she set up saved her life. Again, like really getting personal. She's introducing the problem, she's introducing the solution, but she's doing it through her own personal story and through the examination of what the material in this book did in her own life. The life-changing power of boundaries. So moving into why this is important, establishing stakes. This literally saved her life. Adding to her credibility. And then this book will. And then she goes and lays out, da, 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 da. Here's how this book is going to be laid out. Here's what you're going to learn. Now, I want to point out here too, and I'll do it in a minute with Atomic Habits. You know, these are not incredibly personal books. Like, this is the only one of the only times anyway that like Melissa Urban's story comes up in the book or in such great detail anyway. And like James Clear in Atomic Habits, if you've read Atomic Habits, you'll know like it's it's amazing. It's been on the New York Times list forever. He's phenomenal, but it's not about his personal journey. It's not, you know, it's very straightforward, very matter of fact. He does draw on great examples, but not a lot from his own personal life, except in the introduction of that book. He talks about how when he was, you know, in high school or early college, he was this, you know, amazing athlete. He got incredibly injured. He got really behind. He got really depressed. And the only way that he was able to pull himself out of that and sort of get back to where he wanted to be at a very accelerated rate so that he didn't fall further behind and, you know, miss out on all these goals he had for his life was establishing habits. And he talks about how he went about, you know, doing habit research and experimenting in his own life. And learned all this stuff about habit. And he does, again, he establishes these stakes. He follows the same template through the story of his own connection to the material. Again, these are very prescriptive books, but they start out pretty personal. And the authors made that choice on purpose because they know that readers want to know who's talking to them. They want to know why they should care. They want to know, how do you know any of this stuff? They want to know who's guiding them down this path. So even these writers who wrote not very personal books started out in a very personal way. And that's almost always a good idea in introductions, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about introductions for memoirs or narrative nonfiction books. And I find that there's really kind of two kinds of introductions that I see for stories. There's an author's note, which is kind of a statement of the author's explicit intentions for this book. And then you can also do a prologue, which is kind of a piece of the story that you're like previewing for the reader. So let's talk about each of those. So with author's notes, this is, again, it's a statement of the author's explicit intentions for this book. It's kind of where the author is saying, hey, reader, I'm not burying the lead here. This is exactly what I want you to learn from this book. And I actually see this in Eat, Pray, Love, where in the author's note or the introduction to Eat, Pray, Love, Liz Gilbert comes right out and says, hey, the big idea from my book is I'm paraphrasing here, but it's like, if your life has become a trash compactor, you have every right to try everything within your means to escape that trash compactor and create a life of love and wonder and joy. And she's just coming right out and saying like, hey, reader, this is the point of my story. Here it is. And here's how it's going to go. And so in these author notes, you can see the author is addressing the reader directly. And kind of the way they often do that, that if there were a template necessary, and there's not necessarily a template for memoir introductions, but if there was a template, probably what it would look like is, you know, you've got a hook, again, always starting pieces of our book with a hook, then explaining the rationale for the book and, you know, stating that big idea, whatever it is. If it's something that has included a lot of research, like let's say it's a narrative nonfiction book, you might make, you know, any disclaimers about your process. You might explain like, hey, here's how I did my research for this story. Here's what I found. Maybe if it's a memoir, you say, I've changed all the names in this book to protect people's identities. This is where you're kind of explaining to the reader, hey, just FYI, these are the things you should know before you start reading. And then you can just kind of end with that, like, hey, here's what I hope you learn and here's what I hope you take away from this. And usually we didn't talk about length with prescriptive nonfiction introductions, but the length is fairly short. You know, for a prescriptive introduction, it might only be 2,500 words. And I will say for memoirs and narrative nonfiction, the author's notes are even shorter. It's like a handful of pages, if that. Honestly, I think the author's note for Eat, Pray, Love is like 2 to 3 pages. So they're very short. The other kind of introduction that you might see for a memoir is often called like a preface or a prologue. And this is a preview of the story. This is a preview of the transformation, or it's kind of dropping the reader into the climax of the book. So it's often just a zoom in on one scene where there's a clear shift. And the whole point is to get the reader really curious and interested in what the heck is going on and what is this story that we're going to read. So The Bomber Mafia by Malcolm Gladwell, which is one of my favorite books, does both of these kinds of introductions. So in The Bomber Mafia, Malcolm Gladwell has an author's note where he explains the reason why I'm writing this book about World War II and the creation of the United States Air Force is because Gladwell's father lived in Kent in England during the bombing in World War II. And at that time, Gladwell just, you know, hearing these stories from his father, he became obsessed with learning about planes. And he was just so interested in how the bombing worked and the fact that his father had like seen it happen. And it was just fascinating to him. And so he kind of, his author's note kind of ruminates on his obsessions, you know, with the military and kind of explains, hey, here's what I'm trying to do in this book. Then he has what he titles an introduction. It's operating as a prologue. And this is where he's kind of previewing a really key scene from the book. So this is the scene where there's kind of a transfer of power. I'm not going to explain the plot of this book. It's amazing. You should go read it. But I will just say the introduction slash prologue of his book is this really pivotal scene where there's a transfer of power. And it gets you really curious to find out, well, why is this transfer of power happening? You know, who are the people, who are these people? And why is this so incredibly important? The scene takes place on Guam. And you're kind of wondering, you know, how are we going to get to this scene? So it's a preview. And then when chapter one starts, we back up and we start to learn the context that leads eventually to this pivotal exchange of power. So that is an example.
Hey friends, it's that time again. If you've been wanting to learn about our bespoke book mapping process that has helped hundreds of authors plan and write the book of their dreams, we have good news. Registration is now open for our next Map Your Book cohort, which runs July 9th through August 6th. In 5 teaching sessions and weekly workshops, we'll help you figure out your book's transformation and teach you how to map out your entire book chapter by chapter. Book mapping is the invisible matrix that makes a book work. We're going to teach you how to see it and how to do it for your own book. Head to mapyourbook.com to learn more and sign up for our July cohort.
Liz, what do you want to add about memoir and narrative introductions?
Well, I mean, like you said before, there's not nearly as much direction around them. So, you know, a lot of memoirs don't even have introductions or, you know, a preface or a prologue. A lot of them just sort of get right into the story, and chapter one can still even follow a similar format in that it sort of drops you right into the action, and then chapter two backs up a little bit to the beginning of the story. But like most things, it can be a little bit trickier just because there's not nearly as much common practice around it. But I think a really good one, like you said there at the end, is just to preview something that kind of gets the reader like interested and wanting to know more. You tell a bit about the climax, but you haven't told them anything about how they got there or why they're there or what happens after that scene. You know, when I worked on a memoir not too long ago, that we did one where it was a trauma memoir, and a woman, the author had been assaulted. And so like in the introduction, we talked about the court scene where she gets to confront her attacker, but we don't know how she got there. We don't even know what happened to her, the assault, and of course we don't know what happened to her after she leaves that courthouse. And so it's kind of that idea that, is, you know, often really effective in memoir. But again, like, there's no real rules for memoir, and you don't even have to have one. If you're finding it too tricky, you don't have to even do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope that's helpful as you think about writing your book and setting expectations for the reader, deciding if you even want an introduction. And we'll be back next week to talk about conclusions. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you're a hungry author and you want to learn more about our community and courses, head over to hungryauthors.com. Remember, you have a story and a message worth sharing, and if you've got the hunger, you can make it happen.